भूल जाएंगे हर हम तेरा न भूलेंगे, करबला न भूलेंगे, करबला न भूलेंगे।
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي جعل الحمد مفتاحا لذكري وسببا للمزيد من فضلي ودليلا على آلائه وعظمتي والحمد لله الذي هدانا لولاية إمام زماننا وآبائه ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أرواحنا له فداء. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه يكشف السوء ويجعلكم خلفاء الأرض أإله مع الله قليلا ما تذكرون صدق الله العلي العظيم. First and foremost, I give my condolences to all of you on the shahadat of Imam Hussein, his household, and his companions, alayhim wa salatu wa salam. In continuing our discussion on this concept or the idea that Imam Zaman, ajjalallahu tafarruju sharif, that this dua, amma yujibu al-muftar, it is the dua of Imam Zaman. But in order to understand that, we began to explain Surah 50, verse 59 of Surah An-Naml, because this is introducing this idea, this concept of why is it Imam Zaman, he is muftar. Surah 59 begins with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his guidance, and we should give our salutations upon those servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen. And if we are attentive of this, we pay attention to this, we see that how little this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually followed, that giving praise for the guidance that we have received, and having continuous awareness and consciousness of the Imam of our time, the Imam who is chosen for our time. And for this reason, the Imam, he is muftar, because he makes dua for his reappearance. We make dua for his reappearance. So on one hand, that we as the Shia of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim afdhalu salatu wasalam, we're muftar, we're in distress that when we don't have our Imam. But like many things which are in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he quite often, he emphasizes those things through repetition. Sometimes in the exact same words, sometimes in different words. For example, he says, إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, to emphasize that with difficulty there's ease. With difficulty there's ease. With regards to giving praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this guidance that we have received, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another verse, he's mentioned this. In Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, or at least he alludes that The believer, this is his thought or what he should be saying, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. لقد جاءت رسل ربنا بالحق. That all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has guided us to this path. And if it was not for the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would not have found this path. We would not have come upon this path. A path in which the prophets, the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have come بالحق, with truth. So this is something that is very important to be aware of, to have consciousness of at all times. We're trying to surah, the verse 59 of Surah An-Naml. And we've just covered just the first part of that. قُلْ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَسَلَامُ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَىٰ. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this guidance. And give your salutations upon the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he states after this hamd, wassalam, he says, Allahu khayrun amma yushrikun. Subhanallah. This is very precise and very deep what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he's doing in this particular verse. He's connecting, again, that guidance that he's providing for mankind to his oneness, to his tawheed, to himself. Because after he says, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this guidance and give your salutations upon the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he asks a question, he places his question, Allahu khayrun amma yushrikun. Is Allah better, or is that which people, they make shirk or they associate partners with, is that better? So we must ask that. How is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's attaching and he's equating this praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this consciousness through our salams and our salutations for his chosen servants, how is he connecting it to his oneness, to tawheed? Whereby he immediately asks the question, is Allah best or is shirk? Our ulama, mutakallimin, theologians, they have put forth a very detailed discussion about tawheed. What is the meaning of tawheed? And the different aspects and dimensions of tawheed. Of course, we don't have time in these very short sessions to go through all of the details. But nonetheless, in a very concise statement, Tawheed has been divided into three dimensions, three ways of understanding this Tawheed. And these are all, they go back to the Quran and back to the Hadith of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam. So they say the first dimension or aspect of Tawheed is Tawheed al-Dhati. Tawheed, or the oneness or absolute oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he is the one who has created everything. He has brought everything into existence. Tawheed al-Dhati. And then there's Tawheed al-Sifati. The oneness of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes, there's nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing that can be compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third aspect of Tawheed is Tawheed al-Af'ali. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is omnipotent. Meaning that he is the cause of all causes. That anything that has effect, or athar, as we say in Arabic, anything that has effect or athar in this existence is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One place that all three of these dimensions or aspects of Tawheed is captured is in Surah Al-Ikhlas. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say that He is one. And this is a one without a second after Him. A oneness which there's no likeness to Him. اللَّهُ السَّمَدُ. As-Samad means that one who has all power, complete sovereignty, that nothing has power over him, or nothing has power even compared to the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. There's absolutely nothing like him. Tawheed sifati. And this is why, again, we say, we begin our prayers, and supposedly we begin our prayers with this consciousness. Allahu Akbar. That there's nothing greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we may think that, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's the Razak. He's the sustainer. As a father, as a husband, I may sustain my family. I work and I make income, so I sustain my family. But whatever we imagine about this quality and this attribute of sustaining ar-raziq, nothing can compare to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may imagine that, oh, well, we met someone who is kind, who's merciful, who's generous, just like this, I think this Husseiniya, inshallah, should have a few very generous donors, because otherwise we wouldn't be here tonight, we wouldn't have these lights, and we wouldn't be gathering. So there are some generous donors, but whatever we imagine of generous, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater than that. No one has any quality, any attribute that is compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the dimensions of Tawheed. Tawheed al-Dhati, meaning that there is absolutely nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Absolute oneness. Tawheed al-Sifati, nothing in its attribute or its quality can compare to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawheed al-Af'ali, that nothing in this world has effect except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He allows it. One very good example of this, so that it is very clear, we take the example of fire. Fire burns. If someone lights paper on fire, it's going to burn. If we have some smokers here, I'm not sure, but I don't encourage it. But if you are lighting your cigarette, the fire is going to burn. But it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who allows this physical aspect, what we call in physics, He allows fire to burn. But He can also disallow fire to burn. That when Ibrahim, he was being thrown into the fire, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Kuni baradan wa salama. That fire, though it was fire, and in this world, it did not burn. It did not burn Ibrahim. It had absolutely no effect. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the cause of causes. This is Tawheed al-Af'ali. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, after He gives praise, He says, قُلْ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَسَلَامُ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَىٰ. That praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this guidance that He's provided for mankind. And be aware of this through your salutations, through your salams. He says, أَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. This providing of guidance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is connected or directly from the Tawheed al-Af'ali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He is the one who is providing, He is the one who is creating a servant. That by means of that servant, mankind will be guided. He is the one who is commanding that if you follow this servant, follow this guide, that you will be guided. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you and presenting to you as guidance, as a, is this better or? You should be cool. What someone else may choose, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He equates this with a type of shirk. And we'll explain this very clearly. Because just as we have Tawheed in its three dimensions, Dhati, Tawheed al-Sifati, and Tawheed al-Af'ali, there's Shirk in the opposite or opposing or contrary to these three dimensions of Tawheed. And what is, in the words of the Prophet, shirkun, or you can say shirkun jali. Shirkun jali. Very apparent and open shirk, polytheism, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is shirk in contrast to Tawheed al-Dhati, meaning that someone places emphasis or states that there's another God besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is deserving of worship. There's some other being that has created this universe other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is shirkun azim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he indicates on this in Surah An-Nisa. And in fact, he mentions it twice, again, emphasizing. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرِكَ أَن يُشْرِكَ أَن يُشْرِكَ بِهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not forgive someone who makes shirk. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرِكَ بِهِ. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. And other than that, other than the shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he forgives whomever he wills. This is how verse 43 of Surah An-Nisa begins, and verse 116. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in verse 43, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا. And whoever commits this type of shirk, this shirk al-jali, shirk al-azim, قَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا, he has committed a grave sin. In verse 116, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. And that person has gone astray, far astray. Far astray from what is truth, what is haqq. Because he's associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he's imagined that there's a sovereignty other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other type of shirk is shirkun khafi. Shirk al-khafi. Meaning that the shirk is not shirk with regards to the that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there's another God, that there's another being that has created, that has sovereignty. But it's shirk in another manner. Perhaps, and that sometimes is shirk with regards to the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or shirk with regards to the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the shirk that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He mentions in one hadith, and this hadith is very famous. This hadith is in the books of the Shia, the books of hadith, it's in the books of Ahlul Sunnah. Hadith where the Prophet, he says that shirk, and specifically mentions fi ummati, my ummah, but it's not simply among Muslims, we see it quite often. He says shirk is like the black ant that is crawling on a black rock on a pitch black night. In other words, to detect this shirk is so difficult. If you or in the night, which the moon is not even shining, and there's a black ant that is crawling on a black rock, would you be able to see this ant? It's difficult. But nonetheless, the Prophet, he says, this is shirk. He says, in the dabiba shirk, meaning the smallest amount of shirk. Although it's not small, or at least we should not consider it to be small, but it is something that it is preventing us from reaching into what some of the Arafah say, Tawheed al-Mutlaq. Or having this idea or this concept of Tawheed al-Mutlaq, absolute Tawheed. So where is this shirk al-khafi, where does it come into play and what are the examples of this? I'll start with one of the examples that we may be kind of familiar with, and even our Kalameen, they state this, that as some of our, you could say, brothers in faith, or at least the Abrahamic faith, we all say that, yeah, we're monotheists. We believe in one God. But among those who say that, yes, we believe in one God, they believe also in the Trinity. And none of our ulama say that, well, they don't say that they're mushrik in the sense that they are rejecting Tawheed al-Dhati. No, they believe in Tawheed al-Dhati. But the shubha, or the misconception, comes in the Tawheed al-Af'ali, wa Tawheed al-Sifati, in the attributes and the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby they associate, or they believe that this individual, Isa ibn Maryam, this prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he has been given the power to do things without that power being associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that he acts independently of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because in some means that he is the living manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not shirk in the sense of shirk of Tawheed al-Dhati. Why? Because if you ask about how many gods are there, there's only one God. But that one God is manifesting in the Son and the Holy Ghost, as you say. This is shubha bi Tawheed al-Af'ali, wa Tawheed al-Sifati. Likewise, we find this in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he speaks about the Ashab al-Kahf. In this particular event, the Quraysh, some members of the Quraysh who refused to believe in Rasulullah and this final message, they sent some individuals to the Jews and Christians to get some information that perhaps they would be able to prove that the prophet was not really a prophet and he's not really receiving revelation. So one of the Jews, they mentioned, they said that, well, go ask the prophet or go ask Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Go ask him a few questions, three questions. And among those questions was about the Ashab al-Kahf. And they stated that if he responds and he answers the way that we have told you, the way that we believe, then he is truthful. He is a prophet. But if he does not, then he is not the prophet. And so this is why we have that discussion in Surah Al-Kahf about the Ashab al-Kahf. He said, oh, well, they were three. And the fourth among them was their dog. No, they were four. And the fifth among them was their dog. Because even among the Jews themselves, though they had the story, they knew of the story, that there was a group that supposedly followed Jesus as Messiah, but they did not. And they went into this cave. But nonetheless, they knew the story. So they said, ask him about that. How many people were there? How many companions were there? And of course, we know they had a dog. Were there three? And there was the fourth was a dog? Or was there four? And the fifth was a dog. And when the Prophet of Allah, he was asked this question, he waited for the response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he responded, first he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one who knows how many they were and how long they stayed. And he took the focus off of how many they were, because even among the Jews, they didn't know how many they were. Because the event of the Ashab al-Kahf, it had significance, not significance in how many they were, but the event of life after death. This is one of the things. And the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resurrect some individuals after 300 years that they spent in the cave. And at the end of verse 26 of Surah al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he states, وَلَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا. And he's, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's directing this to those Jews who mention this. وَلَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِ اللَّهِ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا. Meaning, no one is a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his rulings. And his rulings come from his actions, his command. Not saying that they were mushrik in the sense that they rejected the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but if they are associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to agree with what they are saying, otherwise he's not a prophet, then this is a type of shirk. And this is something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
He also states when he was asked, ma adna ma yukunu bihi al insanu mushrikan. What is the most simplest things? What is the bottom line that will make a person mushrik? Faqala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من ابتدع رأيا فأحب عليه أو أبغض عليه. Whoever brings about an idea, and again, this idea is not founded in the principle of the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever brings about an idea, a concept, وأحب عليه وأبغض عليه, that he, based on that idea that he's created, he's brought from himself, that he loves based upon that, he judges people based upon that, with regards to his love, his light, and his dislike. And it's not something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you've brought this thing, and you say that, well, if this person doesn't believe the way I believe, then he's not a believer. If this person doesn't do what I do, or like the things that I like, not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these are the things you should do, these are the things you should, but simply because this is what I like. No one wants to do it. So that person is not Muslim. That person is not a believer. That person is not this. I don't like this person. I don't want to associate with this person. But if this person does what I want them to do, or think the way I want them to think, then okay, we can be friends, and we are companions, the best of buddies. The Prophet Allah, he says, this is adna shirk. And this is something, again, one of the statements that are associated with Imam Hussein alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Where he says, al-hubbu lillah wa bughdhu lillah. Our love and our hate, or our love and dislike, should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, founded upon the principles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the Quran and through His Prophet in Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa sallam. And when we understand this, that we understand this type of shirkun khafi, also another aspect of this shirkun khafi, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commands, and we do not follow that command, it's a type of shirk. And our scholars, our Urafa, they take this, yes, this is a type of shirk. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Aqeemus Salah, establish your prayers, or do this, and we just say, oh, I'm going to defy, I'm not going to do that. Although we believe La ilaha illallah, but we defy the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a type of shirk. Why? Because instead of following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're following the command of our nafs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he points this out in the Quran. He says, Ara'ayta man ittakhadha ilahahu hawa. Have you not seen that individual who takes his nafs, his desires, as his God? Ara'ayta man ittakhadha ilahahu hawa. That his nafs is his God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Salli, pray. But that individual's nafs said, I'm not going to pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fast. You say, I'm not going to fast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, give your homes, your zakat. You say, I'm not going to do this. When we sin, it's a type of shirk and khafi. Because rather than follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to follow, we follow what our nafs wants. So our hukm, our command, the command of our nafs, has become higher than the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we've taken. And inshallah, that Allah will forgive us. It's not the shirk na'azim, but we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us if we have made this type of shirk. This is, again, what Hur, when he saw himself on a battlefield and Imam Hussein was on one side, Hur said, this is, I see myself choosing. I have to choose between the Jannah or Nar. Between paradise and hell. Am I going to follow the rule of my nafs, or the command of Ibn Ziyad, who is not Rasulullah, who is not getting command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or am I going to follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to follow? And subhanAllah, this is, especially with regards to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salam, because, again, the Prophet of Allah, لا ينطق عن الهوى هو وحي ولا وحي يوحى. He's not speaking from himself. When he said, من كنت مولاه فهذا علي مولاه, he's not speaking of himself. He's not raising his Ahlul Bayt because he wants to. No, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Rejecting that, rejecting the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a type of shirk. You're rejecting the command of Allah, the fit of Allah, the af'al of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to do this. And this is why we see, again, in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi afdhalus salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraja. With regards to the wilayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, particularly, also with regards to the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt, he says, مَنْ رَادَّ عَلَيْهِ. Whoever rejected Amir al-Mu'mineen, مَنْ رَادَّ عَلَيْهِ فِي صَغِيرَةٍ أَوْ كَبِيرَةٍ عَلَى حَدِّ الشِّرْكِ بِاللَّهِ. He said, whoever has rejected Amir al-Mu'mineen, and something that is small, something that is big, something that is great, then he is on the brink of shirk, with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shirk with regards to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because rather than following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person has followed his nafs. And Ziyarat al-Jama'ah, which I encourage everyone to recite. Ziyarat al-Jama'ah Kabira. If you want to understand the maqam, we say that in the Ziyarat al-Ashr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's given Imam Hussein al-Maqam al-Mahmud a blessed, an exalted station. If you want to understand that, read Ziyarat al-Ashr, Ziyarat al-Jami al-Kibira. SubhanAllah. Excellent dua to understand the role and the station of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa salatu wa salam. But in that ziyarah, again, it alludes to this. Man harabakum mushrik. Whoever fights against the Ahlul Bayt, whoever has martyred and killed the Ahlul Bayt, mushrik. I mean, rather than following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they followed the command of their nafs. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he told his prophet, tell your ummah, لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا مَوَدَّةً فِي الْقُرْبَى. That I ask nothing for this guidance, for this message, this final, except for مَوَدَّةً فِي الْقُرْبَى. Love of the near ones. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. That if you're claiming that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow the Prophet. Follow all that he has given you. Whatever he commands you, take it. Whatever he prevents you and from, then you leave it. So it is this shirk al-khafi, the shirk with regards to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that rather than follow the command of Allah, they follow the command of their nafs. And that's how we get through this point of Karbala, the martyrdom of Imam Hussein. Individuals who follow not the command of Allah, but followed the command of their nafs. The household of Bani Umayyah was founded upon that and built upon that. 2 days ago when we mentioned that, the verse 62 of Surah Al-Jamm, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرِ, we mentioned that Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala
Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
He wrote this verse in a letter on the battlefield of Safin to Muawiyah. Explain to Muawiyah that I will be killed by your command. You will kill my son Hassan. You will place your son Yazid in charge, and he will kill my son Hussein. But at the end of time, my son, he will rise, and one from among your son will rise, and my son, he will defeat your son. And the akhirah and the is for us. Wa akhiratu lil muttaqin, is for those who are the pious ones. Listen to the answer, the response of Muawiyah. And when we hear this response of Muawiyah, then we understand the thinking of Yazid. But Yazid, he grew up in this household. Muawiyah, he stated, Haniyan laka ya Abul Hasan tamallaku al-akhirah wa haniyan lana tamallaku al-dunya. Says, ya Abul Hasan, there's good news for you that you will inherit the hereafter. And there's good tidings and good news for us that we will inherit this dunya, that we will have this dunya, it will be in our hands. That someone who is raised in a household with an individual who thinks like this, that Hani an laka ya Aba al-Hasan, knowing that Imam Ali is the rightful successor of Rasulullah, he says, oh, you will have the akhirah, we will have this dunya. From this we understand how merciless Yazid was. From this we can understand that how cold-hearted Yazid was. Grew up in a household like this, so cold-hearted. But even after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, his companions, his Ahlul Bayt, he continued to be merciless. And this is shown that when the Ahlul Bayt, they were in the dungeons, they were imprisoned, it is stated that among those prisoners was the young daughter of Imam Hussein, Ruqayya. Her age, according to some narrations, that she was about 4, some say 5, some say that even she could have been as young as 3. Imagine that someone is so merciless that he would even harm a young girl as young as Ruqayya. It's narrated that when the Ahlul Bayt, after suffering from the loss of their master Hussein, from the loss of the likes of Abbas, suffering the loss of Ali al-Akbar, Habib ibn Mazahir, Hur, Joan, and then being taken from place to place to Kufa, and dragged to Sham, that in the dungeons of Sham, it is stated that Ruqayya, just to get some rest, she went to sleep, and when she was asleep, she had a dream, and in that dream, she saw her father, Imam al-Hussein. And abruptly waking up from her dream, she began to cry and state, "Where's my father Hussein? Aina abi Hussein? Fa'inni ra'aytu bil manam mudtariban shadida." That where's my father Hussein? That I saw him just now in my dream, and in this dream he seemed to be disturbed. So where's my father? And she was crying. And when the women folk, they heard that Ruqayya, she is crying, that Baqa and Nisa, that the women, they begin to cry. And as they begin to cry, and their voices, their cries begin to ring out, it said that فَانْتَبَحَ Yazid مِنْ نَوْمِهِ, that Yazid even was woken up from the cries of the women. And then he asks, "Mala khabar?" That what is going on? That what is all this commotion and noise? When Yazid, he was informed that the young daughter of Imam Hussein, that she is crying, she's asking for her father. Then Yazid, he stated, "Idhabu bi ra'si abiha ilayha." That take the head of her father to her. Take this head. Fa'atu bi ra'si. And give her this head. She wants her father. Give this head to her. It said, "Lamma ra'at Ruqayya ra'sa abiha." When Ruqayya, she saw the head of her father, she did not recognize his head that was drenched in blood. She said, "Ma hadha ra's?" That whose head is this? What head is this? "Fa'innu qad innu ra's abik." That this is the head of your father. When she heard that this is the head of her father, so Ruqayya, she began to cry. She began to call out, "Ya, ya, 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 abata, ya, 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 ya. Man alladhi khabbaka bidama'ik." That, "Oh my father, who has done this to your head? Who has placed all of this blood upon your head?" She was crying, "Ya abata, ya, 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 ya. Man al-yateema hatta takbur." That, "Oh my father, who will watch after this yateem? Who will watch after this orphan until she grows up?"
ثم غشي عليها وتوفي تنجي رقية. It said that she fell unconscious and she died in this state. We give our salutations to Ruqayya. As-salamu alayki ya binat al-Husayn. As-salamu alayki ya binat al-Husayn. As-salamu alayki ya mahzuna. Salams upon Ruqayya, the daughter of Husayn, upon the mahzuna, the one who was mourning for her father, the one who was mourning and calling, Tunadi ya abata. And even today, that you see the state of Syria, you see the state that even of the shrine of Ruqayya, that even today she's madloom, even today she's madloom at the hands of the Ali Sufyan. Give your salutations, everyone. Assalamu alaykum, ya binat al-Husayn, ya binat al-Husayn, ya binat al-Husayn.
Thank you.